You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are talking about the MLS CBA. It looks like we will be having a season this year. We also talk about the rebranding of U.S. soccer, of MLS, and no longer looking like a retirement league. And unboxings. Let's go.
Let's go. I love unboxings. Plus, we also talk to Trinity Rodman, the number two overall pick for the NWSL. She plays for the Washington Spirit. We ask her about everything from her painting to playing with pros. Of course, we got to ask her about her pops. We ask her more about her, that, and more today on the Cooligans.
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Let's go.
Come on.
Let's do this. Power through another week. We are...
Why do you sound so tortured?
Okay. You know, this pandemic is getting to me. You know what I'm saying?
We need the stimmy to get here. Or the vacky. I don't know what we're calling the vaccination, but let's go.
Okay. Well, look, this is where you come get the new hip slang that all the kids are using. All right? hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, it is. And my name is Alexis Guerrero.
That is what it is, okay? Yeah. You know what? We won't lie to you about what our names are.
Though we're giving you our government, dude. That's how much we love you.
Exactly. You know, not all these other shows, okay? These other shows out here, they got warrants out for them, so they're not using their real names, all right? hello. Well, I'm absolutely thrilled about today's show because we have an incredible guest. We're going to be joined by Trinity Rodman of the Washington Spirit.
You heard him right. Trinity Rodman, number two overall pick. Let's go.
The Washington Espiritus, okay?
The Washington Espiritus Santos.
Let's go. No, so absolutely thrilled. Obviously, she was the second pick in the NWSL draft, and now she's talking to us, okay? So her career is on the up and up. It's going well. Let's start. We are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived.
That's right. It's also the gulliest. And just peek behind the curtain. The reason Christian said yes twice there is because we were just reminded in our ears we forgot to say the thing we've said for 5 years straight. I completely forgot. I was like, let's just move on.
I don't know how to do TV anymore.
Nah.
I'm over it, to be honest. Okay.
Look, as Christian said, power through, everyone. I think Christian just misses being in a room with me. You know, the heat that I exude. You know?
Yeah, he raises the room temperature by 8 degrees. Okay?
That's not even on just riffs. That's also my blood pressure.
Okay. All right. He's usually profusely sweating. That's why he carries. He big comedians. They have a sweat rag, and he's always like powdering himself down. Okay?
It's one of the things you stop seeing when you stop doing hood rooms. Like hood rooms, most comics will come up with like a little towel on their shoulder. And like, you cooking back there before you come on stage?
So let's talk soccer. Okay, because there's a lot to discuss. It looks like and it feels like we are going to have a Major League Soccer season. Because you know, we weren't sure when it comes to the contract negotiation, the CBA, the collective bargaining negotiation.
Well, they kept saying like, yo, if we don't agree by midnight, lockout. And then they didn't agree by midnight. They're like, all right, you know what? If we don't agree by tomorrow at midnight, lockout. And they were like, fine. All right. How about Wednesday? Y'all want to do Wednesday?
Okay. The Garber is just like, look, if we don't agree by midnight, Austin FC will turn into a pumpkin. We really got to get this right. Yeah.
Don't feed LAFC after midnight.
we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The main details were the league wanted to add 2 years to the current agreement. The players did not want that because obviously they you know want a pay raise. They want to be able to renegotiate.
Just that, they want the bump from the World Cup. They want to negotiate before on a come up to the World Cup Yeah. Because that would be huge. And MLS is like, if we wait, we have to pay you less money. So I want to wait.
Yeah. Okay. Let's let, you know, the World Cup heat kind of just like be a bit more subdued and reside. And, right? And you know, when you can't really use that for any kind of leverage, you know?
That's like if you get your girl a nice necklace or something, you're like, yo, it's a diamond cubic zirconia, you know what I mean? You're just like trying to confuse her a little bit.
Yeah, you know? I got it from Larry Diamond, so clearly, you know, this is all right. There's nothing
it's,
bad.
No, it's off-white because it's diamonds in quotes, you know? Just don't get it checked and do not try to cut glass with this.
But it does feel like, look, by the time we're recording this, the players are voting. The full player pool is voting on if they're going to ratify this agreement. It does look like that is what will happen.
Yeah, because the players' representatives agreed, the league has agreed, the executives agreed, we agreed, you know what I mean?
We got to vote in it. Uh-huh.
They didn't ask us, but we were like, what's up? We're here already, you know? And they're like, how long were you two under that table? I'm like, good question. I'm not answering that. What are the legal implications of me answering that question?
This is double jeopardy, I think. I don't know, law.
Yeah, I'll plead the fifth. Like, you can't do that if you're not in a court. And they're like, I don't know why you keep asking those questions. I'm not here.
These are some of the at least some of the things that the players did get, which I think the biggest one is the free agency can start at an earlier age, at 24 years old, after 4 years of service, as opposed to 5 years. So this is, you know, the opportunity for MLS players to have a freedom of movement is something that they've wanted for a long time, and the fact that this is at least a little bit of a win, I think this we'll see a little bit more players being able to play where they want to play rather than why it's been for the existence of Major League Soccer.
I like how optimistic you're being about this. Here's what I look at is the fact that they negotiated very hard to keep the force majeure in there, so it looks like after December 1st they can invoke it again. And if you try real hard to keep something in there, you know what I mean? If you're telling your girl, like, I don't know, I just think, like, let's just talk about a prenup. You know what I mean? Let's just make sure it's in there. I feel like you got some plans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm a little worried. And, you know, there's some rumors that they're already sort of talking about how it's likely they'll use it again just to sort of strike another negotiation to potentially even get a better deal. Even if you knock down one thing, you know, you extend it a year, you knock down a small percentage, the owners keep the money. And I think we saw this during this negotiation is the owners don't really, I'm not going to say they don't care, but I think they have a little bit more of a cushion for them to sit back and wait. They could do a lockout and they're fine. The players are the ones who are like, yo, I got mortgages to pay. I got kids here. I got, you know, whose kids are these? You know, like,
you know, are the owners going to tell me? You know,
I think there's a lot. I think what we're seeing is, and I know that the Players Association has a strike fund, but how big is this strike fund, yo? Like, you might have to get this prepared because it looks like this might happen again in December.
Yeah, well, go. You can always donate at MLSGoStrikeMe.com.
Or just Venmo us. We'll give it to them. Don't worry about it.
We just Venmo the players directly, you know? So, look, it's exciting at least that it looks like there is some that we will have Major League Soccer in 2021. And you know, hopefully we're at games and hopefully, again, the vacky, we're waiting for the vacky.
Yo, let's go vacky. Come on. We'll even buy the vacky at the stadium. You're like, it's $35. Dude, it's $12 everywhere else. Oh, I get to keep the needle? A commemorative needle.
Okay, wow. Interesting. Love this DC United needle. I found it in an alley. Are you sure this is the correct one?
Well, the Miami one is multi-use. Well, that makes a lot of sense for Miami.
Okay. Okay, several doses in it. Interesting.
It's
okay.
Also flat in a mirror. Wow. All right, Miami. I don't know if you saw this on a different show, Extra Time, which I believe has been canceled, so don't even Google it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's really the struggling Extra Time.
And that's fine. I mean, they had their own thing, but we're here. And that's why you're watching and listening to us. But apparently, you know, they're trying to start it up again. So Berhalter was on. And Greg Berhalter, obviously friend of the show, calls it Taylor Ham. And then third on the list of his accomplishments is head coach of the men's national team. He said that he thinks The perception around the world for MLS is changing into a league with value, a value league, as he calls it, as opposed to, you know, what it was known before as a, you know, sort of retirement league or a place to go when you think your career is mostly over.
Yeah. I mean, look, as a U.S. men's national team coach, what else is he going to say?
You were going to say, as a men's national team coach, I'm like, when did you become a men's national team? Why did they ask me?
What else is he really going to say? But I think now there is...
You know what? Here's the thing, though. He would be called out for it if it was wrong. I mean, it does seem...
Oh, yeah. Look.
It's a correct assessment.
You know, a couple years ago, we had Matt Doyle on the show, right? This was before... The men's national team was playing. This was after. Did we have him on after the Kuva? I think.
I believe so. Yeah, because we asked him like, where do we go from here?
Yes, and he basically. I'm almost sure he was on before. Like, I think it was like something. If we missed the World Cup, don't you think that this would force people to change and all these other things? That is essentially what you had asked, and. He was like, no, that should not happen. That would be a terrible situation.
Remember that now. Yeah.
In hindsight, look at how the not only.
Wait, hold on. Say it. Was I right? Say you, it.
It's not about being right or wrong.
No. Say it. Don't you dare politicize this. Say it. I was right.
Look, this is what.
Was
what
I wrong? Ended,
what
Was I wrong? Yes or no?
What ended up happening? Look, I'm going to give you your props. Give me a second, okay. Alexis.
That's all I care about. Everyone listen in. Make sure you hit record.
You know, he thought that would have been devastating and would have hurt the program. And what we're seeing is that what you suggested, what you foresaw, was correct.
Yay! We end the show now? Christian said I'm right.
Get the big board. We got one for Alexis.
All right. We're good now. What are you going to do after Cooligans?
What ended up happening was not only have we seen the investment in youth, but the business of soccer has been wildly profitable for MLS. Right, we know the USDA folded or they dissolved that and gone and doing MLS Next, and now they're like, okay. We saw what the old system got us, which is missing a World Cup, and now we can see, like, not only are we going to make it to the next World Cup, but we're also going to get in some serious guap on the way there, because it really, just in these, you know, 4 years, 3.5, 4 years, the level of you know, the rebranding of U.S. soccer, of, like, not only they have a seat at the table.
It got its,
like,
groove back, right? It's like post divorce. It's like, damn.
It's got its groove for the first time because
that's
now,
a good point. That's a good point.
Because now US MLS clubs and now there's a real, like, oh, we can not only can we just have a thriving league and have some entertaining games, but we can be a competitor in the world market when it comes to selling players. And that
who to credit that to? That's all Weston McKennie. Remember when he moved? From FC Dallas. FC Dallas got nothing for that.
That's right.
And MLS was like, yo,
can't be doing this.
Right? We built this. And you just gonna take this from us? Like, yo, from now on, we're gonna figure out a way to make sure these kids that we're developing, the whole point was to make all of this, you know, sort of make this big effort into developing the youth, the potential future, was to be like, oh, well, then we'll have great players in the league. And now, I think that, and to your point, over the last 4 years, I saw, like, well, if they're value to our league and other leagues want them, we can make money transferring these players that we develop to other leagues. Well, let's do that. And because of that, and to Berhalter's point, that's why the perception has changed. You know, the idea of not being a selling league for so long seemed like such a mistake. And now that we're like, all right, fine, we'll send you our youth players that are great and you could continue to develop them or just have them start right away. Look, everything that's changed from Alfonso Davies to now Brian Reynolds. I almost said Ryan Reynolds. He's not going to play soccer anytime soon.
He owns a team, though.
Yeah, he owns a team, but he ain't getting on it. And you're the owner. You're not good enough. But Reggie Cannon, you've got these players that have gone out there and are showing, you know, even Mark McKenzie's, like, being purchased by the not the top club. You don't have to be the, you know, Mark McKenzie, I wouldn't put him on the same level as like a Christian Pulisic, you know what I mean? Like shock the world as a youth. But you, just doing what you do is good enough for a team that is a Champions League level team to want you is a huge step forward for this league.
But that's the hustle, right? That's in world football. The hustle is the movement of players and exchanging money, and MLS was not a part of that for a long time. If you're not
by choice,
and also the if your players and the quality of players that you're producing are not respected, then you're gonna be left out. Your pocket's gonna be empty. And look, a lot of credit to FC Dallas. I think FC Dallas is what changed what I think people think of American soccer.
Especially the American soccer player. And didn't Brian Reynolds pick FC Dallas because he knew that those players?
No. That was, I believe, Tanner Tessman.
Tanner Tessman.
Like, everybody's like, they could be living in Maine, and they're like, I'm gonna go Dallas. And that's the Manchester United Academy. If you have a choice to pick and you live in that area,
you go Stockport. That's in like the nobody knows. Or you go Manchester United. You're like, yo, if it doesn't work out in Manchester, I bet you Stockport will take me. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's easy to be like, yo, but it's like a lot of the players that go through the Barcelona Academy. It's like, I went through the Barca Academy. You got to take a chance on me.
It's FC Dallas is the Manchester United of MLS. Okay, we should start calling him Sir Luchi Gonzalez. Okay?
So, Dynamo fans, feel free to let us know how you feel. Austin FC fans, let us know how you feel about Christian saying that FC Dallas is the Manchester United of the MLS.
We haven't done one of these in a while.
It's my favorite segment.
An unboxing to do. We got two. First, I mean, we always say we get the most illustrious gifts on this show.
Yeah.
And we got to start off with this absolute banger.
I wonder what it could be.
From the Philadelphia Union.
The packaging alone, it's like, even if you got it upside down, you're like, oh, okay.
we've been seeing some photos here and there. It was a big announcement.
The colorway is just beautiful, even just for the wrapping. I mean, what a beautiful, beautiful kit. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But the new 2021 Philadelphia Union BYU kit, AYU? Yeah, no, BYU, Blue-Yellow Union kit is a special Blue-Yellow Union kit, BYU kit, whatever you choose to call it, or BYU. Oh, I get it. That's kind of cool. The kit is a first. It is. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is really dope.
So look at this, bro. The lightning bolts. This is a look, we're used to seeing...
This is gorgeous. First of all, Artesano, right? Mm-hmm. Shouts to them putting the name of my first girlfriend, his last name, on the front of the shirt. Kelly Artesano.
This is it's because Philadelphia Union be getting that bread. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, by selling their player.
But, yo, look, they have our names in the back. Polanco and Guerreros, thank you so much to the Philadelphia Union. It's a dope kit. We're not used to seeing MLS kits be bold and flashy.
I think that's what's so significant about this kit, right? Like, everyone was complaining about all the white kits. Everyone's got a white kit. They went flashy as hell, you know? Literally, lightning bolts all over it.
Okay, I just put it down, and the paper, the wrapping paper. And Nutmeg is eating the wrapping paper now.
Okay. So he's involved in the unboxing. And this is probably one of the most significant moments in our show's history.
Yes.
I think it was like the first, or maybe not even the first episode, but somewhere in the first year, I said, wouldn't it be wild if this company sent us this? Like, there's like a significant moment in my head where I'm like, if I get this, which is what I want to wear forever. I want to only be able to wear, like, weddings, funerals, quinceañera. I just want to wear this outfit.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's in this box.
Check this out. So this is from Adidas, and it says Tito on it.
Which is to throw.
Okay.
Ooh, look at this. So far, I mean.
Or to shoot.
That's true.
Okay. So, yeah. Box in here. Okay.
So born from soccer, Tito has become an icon far beyond the pitch. Wherever, whenever, and however you wear it, The Tiro collection gives you the freedom to move and express yourself and live outside the lines. We're honored to share this collection with you and can't wait to see you sporting Tiro. Ladies and gentlemen, what we have received is a full ass tracksuit, my G.
A full ass tracksuit?
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's interesting.
Cover that ass. Yo, we didn't just get the jacket. We didn't just get the pants.
It is
your
also,
boys got the whole thing.
And a shirt, too. And an undershirt. So, I mean, look, we could be assistant coaches. I think for us, this shouldn't be called the Tiro collection. It should be called the Theo collection. Okay.
Oh, the Theo collection. I might cross that R out, yo.
Super, super cool. Thank
we
you.
We just got to start asking people questions like, you got a girlfriend yet? If we're going to meet Theos.
Okay. You know, we're not talking tactics. All right.
Guys, I got a tracksuit. I mean, yeah. You know. Full. Is Christian going to see me in anything other than this tracksuit from now on?
Okay, there's no function. Alexis will not wear this hat. Alexis, you're a very big fan of very comfortable clothing in settings that you probably shouldn't be super comfortable. You know what I mean?
Remember we got invited to the Russian tea room, one of the most elegant spaces in all of New York,
yeah,
for the World Cup send-off. And what did your boy wear? A hoodie. Let's go. Christian came dressed nice. As soon as he saw me, he's like, what the fuck? You know, immediately. And I was like, what? It's a hoodie.
It's like literally the, Grant Wall is here. Kate Abdo, you know, everybody dressed.
Everyone's wearing tuxes or suits.
You know, they gave us caviar in the gift bag. And this dude is in a hoodie like, yo, where that caviar at? You know?
I was like, yo, you got extra? I heard these are money.
Okay, because, you know, my cousins be out. They be liking this stuff, okay? So I just need a couple extra.
Now right? I want you to know your boy's pulling up in a tracksuit. Let's go. We got Trinity Rodman when we get back after this. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break up with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being. Okay?
Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pick, booty pick, booty pick sandwich.
Dan, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus, you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining. Stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
Hi, baby, and we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and finally, our guest is here. This is exciting.
I am absolutely thrilled to have, not only a great player, but also the youngest player to ever be drafted in the NWSL. It's pretty dope.
Yo, number 2 overall. I've never been picked number two for anything, you know? Even when I proposed to wifey, she's like, I don't know, you kind of third option right now. You know?
There's a couple other dudes that really, the ring is looking a little bit better on the
she's
other
like,
guy.
Option number one is single, you know? Option number two, anybody but you. And then you, but she's absolutely amazing. Can't wait to see her play for the Washington Spirit for the NWSL. Ladies and gentlemen, and if you're driving, pull the goddamn over so you can put your hands together for the one, the only, Trinity Rodman, everybody!
Trinity, what's up?
Hi.
Okay, pretty standard intro. I think that you've received, right?
Right, this is normal, right? Intro for you at this point?
Yeah, pretty cool, pretty cool.
Look, I think the first question for you is, obviously, I did mention you are the youngest player to be drafted in the NWSL. Obviously, you know, we had your now teammate on the show before, Ashley Sanchez, and also very young, right? And who really mentioned the transition, leaving California and then just being on your own, and you sort of still feel like a kid, and now you have to like do all this adult stuff and you gotta worry about all these new things. How's the adjustment been for you, you know, being a pro now?
Honestly, it hasn't been that hard, which is surprising for me to say, because I thought it'd just be like this huge, like, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna know how to do anything on my own. But since I've been here, it's been pretty nice, and like teammates are awesome, my roommate's awesome, so it's been pretty chill. And my mom even said, she's like, I knew you'd be fine, you're really independent. So I was like, yeah, it's nice to be alone and away from my mom for once.
It must feel good, you know, especially when your roommate doesn't yell at you, you know what I mean? It's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, it's weird when your roommate does. You're like, oh my god, this is not what I signed up for.
Also, we're both Latino. If you call your parents roommates, a lot of bad happens after that. Yelling is the least of your problems. What does it feel to now have a different set of expectations? Because before this, you know, you're playing soccer at an extremely high level. The whole point is to get signed or to get noticed by a scout or to get to a college. At this point now, like, you're playing for a chip. You're playing with, like, full-on adults who have mortgages and stuff. Just talk a little bit about sort of that expectation now that you have on you. And does it feel different?
It's definitely different. Obviously, I have to be a lot more responsible and a lot more, like I said, independent. And I think it's obviously, without having my mom and like friends around as much, it's like more on my shoulders. So even just like on the field, I'm a lot more, not hard on myself, but I need to get everything done. And if I mess up, I'm like, okay, let's restart. Let's do this again. And I don't know, with just everything, it's definitely different from when I had my mom around, because I was like, mom, can you fill out this form, can you do this, can you do that? And so yeah, it's definitely a lot different just having to do everything on my own and kind of have that self-independence to like be able to lean on myself emotionally and like mentally for everything. So it's nice though.
Yeah, because you can't be like, coach, can you sign my permission slip to play this road game?
You know?
Yeah, although you have an agent. They're getting paid. So start filling out these forms if you want that 10%, my G. I mean, the question has to be asked, right? As soon as you're mentioned, and you know, kudos to you, because you got mentioned across a span of sports shows that never mentioned women's soccer. But unfortunately, it wasn't for your gameplay or how good you are, the fact that you went second overall. It was because of who your dad is and your last name. You know, is there extra pressure on you to sort of perform because of that? Or should you just have changed your name, right? Should you have gone with like Trinity Jordan or something like that? Be like, yo, get that pressure off.
I don't think there's any pressure, just because I'd honestly say there's more pressure for my brother just because they play the same sport. But for me, I don't see any pressure. And I think just the way I play, the only pressure that I have is like work rate, and I'll never run out of that. And I think in any sport, that's all you can give is like the most, because you don't learn work rate. It's just there. And for me, I don't feel any pressure. It's obviously like it gets old sometimes when you're like, oh, Dennis Rodman's daughter, Dennis Rodman. But like, I don't feel any pressure. I just do my thing on the field and let everybody else talk outside of that.
Okay. Most people's parents, like, you know, I grew up without a father, but my mom, I wouldn't say she was cool. You know what I mean? Like, your dad has like a different, was he corny to you at some point? Were you like, with the funky, like, do you dress different just because you're like, if God forbid I wear something bedazzled, they're going to say like, I'm like my father. You know what I mean?
He was a weirdo, yeah. I don't know. My style and everything's pretty, like, chill for the most part. I'm not afraid to, like, wear a bunch of, like, weird stuff, but I'm just, like, pretty chill for the most part. I think as I get older, I'll find more of, like, my own style and, like, maybe get a little bit more creative, wear more than just black and white. But, yeah, I definitely don't dress as extravagant as he does.
Extravagant's a great word.
It takes
for that.
A couple of years. Like, I remember when it took till I was like, I don't know, 23, 24, till like, I was like, let me try different things. Let me see who I am. Like, one time I wore sunglasses at a nightclub. I was like, all right, let me see if I'm this guy.
Turns out you couldn't see shit.
I'm not this guy, you know?
Yeah. That's funny.
So yeah, it is. Look, I guess the frustrating part, because a lot of people were really supportive of you, and critical of the way the media constantly kind of made this comparison. You know, there were times where they were bringing up the who your father was, rather than even saying what team you played for, what position you played, or any kind of statistics. Is there I guess it's not even about pressure, but is that like on your conscience of like how the game is covered to some degree, and the fact that you can, so even just by making a name for yourself, you can make an impact on like how they talk about the women's soccer in America?
Yeah, I've said this before. It's kind of just a given for his name to always be there and his game to be talked about and his lifestyle to be talked about. But I've said to a lot of people, I'm more excited for people to see me like develop as a player and get better. And I'm honestly excited that they haven't really talked about my gameplay yet, because I'm excited for them to see where I am now and then like be able to say, whoa, she's like the most improved player ever, rather than she's good already. I want it like people to look at me and be like, oh, she's improved the most throughout this league.
That's awesome. And looking at just sort of how you're portrayed by people who do talk about soccer, even CNN, the first line says you're a rising star with the U.S. women's national team. I mean, talk a little bit about that, because it's sort of the expectations are not just on you to sort of help the Washington Spirit and help grow NWSL and help grow women's soccer. No pressure. But now also represent the country. Like, what do you think your chances are with the women's national team? And what would you like to sort of show early on?
I want to show that I'm mature, not just on the field, but off the field. Cause I think obviously like a lot of coaches and stuff, they look at an 18-year-old and they probably think, oh, she's really immature. Like she can't handle stuff. She's not responsible. And I want to be able to show people that I can be mature and I can be this beast on the field, but I can also be this professional person off the field. And also just, I've been playing with the U.S. women's national team for a while, like at youth ages. I started, I think, 2015 or 16. So it's been nice to like grow as a player and like get a following and people that support me and are seeing my development. But I think what I said, just being able to be seen as like a professional, mature individual is going to be a great thing. Being able to go into maybe the full women's national team after maybe a season or two seasons or moving forward.
Okay, yeah, we can't wait to see it either. And Trinity, I want to talk about draft day. It was obviously very different this time around compared to having a big in-person kind of event. But it was really sweet, especially seeing you when you got drafted and your mom hugging you and everybody. Yeah. It felt like this low-key thing, but also clearly your mom was like super excited.
We all got drafted.
It's just like you found out you got drafted like in the kitchen. You're like, okay, cool, this is great. And we had a question from we have our supporters group called the Gully Squad, and Justin Friedberg, he had asked, he said, what was your first reaction once you saw your name selected? Like, you know, what was the experience? Did you know where you might go? Do you have any inkling?
I had a little bit of an inkling, but at the back of my head, I was still really nervous, because at the end of the day, you still really don't truly know until your name's called. So my heart was pounding. I was shaking. My mom was like, chill out. Like, there's nothing you can do about it.
Were you like, are there any other Trinity Rodmans? Or this is me? This is me, right?
And so my name got called, and I think the sense of, like, relief knowing that I finally made it or not finally, because I guess I'm only 18, so it wasn't that big of a wait. But just like the relief of building up to it and just like knowing that all my work paid off. I think I was really proud of myself because I don't say that a lot. And I'm never like, oh, I'm really proud of what I just did. And I think that moment I was like, Mom, I'm really proud. Like I did it. And so I was just really relieved and happy. And obviously you could tell with her reaction. I didn't have as big of a reaction just because I was kind of in shock still. And my friends even were coming in, but they missed the reaction because they all came in and like hugged me and like tackled me. It was really cool, but they missed it. So it was really exciting.
That's awesome. Now you're on this team and we have a question from Laura McCoy who said, who are you excited to learn from on the Spirit? It's such a great group there.
Yeah, I think obviously we have Emily Sonnet and Kelly O'Hara, like the full women's nationals, Andy Sullivan. It's going to be awesome to learn and see even just their habits on what they do before practice, after practice, and their intelligence on the game. But I think within my position, I'm really excited to learn from Ashley Hatch because she's a really good player. And I got to talk to her a bunch. She's really sweet too. And she's really about teaching me and just telling me kind of what to do and what to improve every single time. Cause we've been on a team just like in practices and stuff. And I'll ask her, I'll be like, was that right? Did I do that right? What do I need to improve? She'll tell me straight up what I need to improve, where I need to cut off, where I need to run, where I need to pass the ball. And it's just nice to have that person that's kind of in my position on the attacking half to be able to tell me and help me get goals and assists and stuff. So probably Ashley Hatch.
Okay. Yeah. And watching, you know, I've watched a couple, you know, U.S. Youth National Tournament and I've seen you play. And one thing I enjoy very much is that you definitely have our mindful attacker, but you're a great passer as well. Is there any player that you not necessarily, I don't know, modeled your game after or that you really appreciated that you kind of wanted to be like, or are you kind of developing that stuff on your own style?
I obviously have people that I look up to, but I don't think I ever am like, oh, I want to play exactly like her. Cause yeah. I think I want my game to be completely different in the sense of like, just building myself. Like, obviously I want to be like, oh, she has the speed of Lynn Williams or, but I never want to be like, oh, Trin got her play from so-and-so. So I guess my mindset's kind of just, I think work rate's my biggest thing. Cause everyone has different types of work rate. Everyone can just be their own. And like, you don't, like I said, you don't have to learn it. So everybody has their own like percentage of work rate during the game. So I think, I don't know, I'm a big person on kind of running the whole game and trying to get the ball as much as I can. And I think that's a lot different than a lot of players is like, obviously being a forward, you don't have to run back and get the ball back and go on defense. And I think I'm different in that sense. So I want to continue that. And I want people to see that I can work hard offensively to score and also work hard to defend the goal and help the backs and the midfielders.
But just don't work too hard because they're gonna put you at center back.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what they do to forwards. Yeah, this is what they do. They move you back.
You gotta be like Grant. You gotta be a diva up front, like all the other forwards. All right, appreciate the shine a little bit, the spotlight.
Also, stop with the passing, yo. You get buckets, right? If you give the ball up, you can't get buckets.
Yo, we're gonna get a call from Coach Richie Burke. They're like, yo, you can't be on the show again.
You need to stop talking about shit. You don't understand. Actually, this is a great question from Luke Stergio. He said it was noted in an ESPN interview that you're an avid painter. Playing just like playing different sports helps you play the one sport and what to focus on. Does painting help you in any way play better?
I don't know. I think I have a lot of creativity just in everything. I think very in depth about everything and painting. I don't know. I think it's maybe it does, honestly, but it's just like a little hobby that I decide to do. Like if I'm bored one day, I'll go to the store, get a canvas and then paint. And then afterwards I'm like, dang, I'm good.
You get locked in a zone. And then when you come out of it, you're like, wow, who painted this?
Okay. Yeah. I am Picasso. So, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, really.
I could go pro in two sports, apparently.
Yeah. But I love painting. I think it's a nice way to like kind of have creativity outside of just one thing in life. And I don't know, it's a good hobby. It's relaxing. It's motivating when you can do well with it. And Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's relaxing. I don't know if it helps me play better, but it's a nice hobby to have.
Nice. Unless you're painting like the scoreboard of the next match with like you guys winning 3-0. Yeah. Okay, manifesting it. I like it. Trinity, now you're about to be a pro and things are different, right? You've been joining new teams, right? From college or from youth. As a comic, the first moment where I realized I was a comic, I thought it was going to be when I got like a first big laugh. But that wasn't it. The moment I completely bombed. I mean, I just, everything I said didn't work. And I was like, do you guys hear me? Is the mic raw off? That moment is where I kind of like walked away and I realized like, yo, that's it. I'm a comic, right? What is it for you? Like, what do you think is going to be that moment where you realize like, yo, I'm a pro? Is it just walking out, hearing your name called? Do you think it's going to be like your first goal you score?
I honestly think it'll be more in practice seeing my improvement, maybe like in scrimmages scoring more goals or like having really good crosses and being able to keep up with everybody. I think that's been the biggest thing for me, is just wanting to feel like I'm not always trying to catch up to everybody. And I think the moment where I can keep up, I can play as fast, I can score on people, I can defend people, I think that's the moment that I'm going to be like, yeah, I can really keep up. This is my career. This is my job. This is my sport. So I think the moment that I'm able to say that I'm good at as good as them and able to defend them and score on them is going to be the moment where I can claim this.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, let me put it in a not so nice way. When I really flex out there in front of all those other pros, that's when I know I'm going to be pro.
Okay, yeah. Just paraphrasing, that's all. I'm curious, so far you've had a couple your practices already with your team. Has there been that moment of like, yo, this ain't college, you know what I mean? Like, or this ain't high school, this isn't. Is there any player that took you by surprise, whether it was a tackle or somebody got by you that was like, okay, this is pretty legit?
Or a keeper who's like, damn, you know? Springs down there.
I'd probably, honestly, I'd probably say Ashley Hatch again, just because in one of the practices we were playing this game against three goals, so two teams against three goals, and our coach would call out and say go, and we'd all have to run around, sprint around a cone, come back, and whoever got to the ball first could attack to goal. And me and Hatch, when he said go, we were both sprinting around, and I'm like kind of used to being one of the faster people, so I was like, oh, I got this, no worries. And so we go both sprint around the cone, and I'm sprinting to the ball, and I look to my left, and she's right there, and I'm like, oh, shoot. And so I get to the ball, and she's right behind me, and then I end up falling, and she gets it. So I was like, okay, I can't do that anymore.
It ain't as easy as it was everywhere else.
Yeah, but they're definitely so much faster, so much stronger, so I'm going to have to beef up.
Yeah, she had a great Challenge Cup too, so I, you know, she's in top form. Kyle Ritchie asks, do you think the Olympics will happen, and what do you think are your chances of making the squad?
I mean, I hope they happen. I think they will, but I don't know. I'm not gonna have an expectation, just because I am very young and there are forwards in my position that are even just a little bit older and have more experience, because obviously I haven't even been into one full women's camp, so I'm not gonna have expectations. It would be great, and I'm totally mentally ready for anything that comes, but I'm not gonna have that expectation yet. I'm just ready to build up to that, I guess.
Of course. We had a question from Douglas Reyes Aron, who is a Spirit fan as well. He had asked, what's the first place you're gonna visit when you check out DC, and can we make it Ben's Chili Bowl? The real DC monument.
Very popular.
Okay. So I don't know. Look, I personally don't know too much about DC and what the popular food is.
That's or more of food. A, he doesn't know food. Anything about food.
It's more of an Alexis thing. Yeah. Are you that type of person where you're very interested and you know, about what food is in the area and getting to know the culture around it?
Yeah, I'm definitely a big food person. I think I need to work on that, because obviously being young, you don't kind of have to work on your diet as much. And when you get older, that's when you kind of have to buckle down. But I'm definitely a big foodie.
Well, don't say it right to Alexis's face, you know?
I don't even know what she's talking about, to be completely honest. I'm like, buckle down. Baby, there's no seatbelt here.
That's funny. But do you know what crumble cookie is?
A crumble cookie?
A crumble cookie? Yeah. I don't know if I've had that. No.
Is it just a cookie that's crumbled in a cup?
No. And it's just like, they're just really big cookies and they have new flavors every week. And so my roommate, she's like, these are the best cookies ever. Like, you need to come. So we literally drove 30 minutes to get cookies and then waited in like 40 degree weather outside for like 20 minutes and then drove 30 minutes back just for these cookies. And they're awesome. So Crumble Cookies, probably like the best place I've been to so far, food wise.
You're just, so but... Cali that 40 degrees is a lot for you. I was like, what a nice day. You
know? I need to do the porca.
Yo, 40 degrees, I'd be out there in shorts. I'd be like, thank God.
I just Googled Crumble Cookies. Yeah, they look pretty good.
You got to try Mumbo Sauce. If I could tell you to do anything, it's Mumbo Sauce. That's what DC is known for. It's a special sauce on wings. They're fire. Okay. You can only get it in DC.
I love wings, so.
There you go, Mumbo Sauce. Let me know what you think when you get them.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because we have in New York, what's the Insomnia Levain cookie?
Oh, Insomnia. Oh, Levain does the big ones.
Okay, yeah. And that's, you know, they usually put those near college campuses. Because they know those kids.
What, 2 a.m.? Who are we going to sell cookies to at 2 a.m.? Probably NYU students.
All right. Thank you so much to Trinity Rodman for joining us. Yes, absolutely crushed it. Of the Washington spirit. An absolute blast to have you on the show. Trinity, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to everybody who follows me and just stay along this journey with me, because there's going to be a lot of fun things coming and hopefully a lot of goals and celebrations. So stay tuned for that. And also, if you want to follow more closely, I have an Instagram. It's Trinity_Rodman. And then my TikTok is Trinity.Rodman.
Okay, that's right. Nice. And you also have a great YouTube channel that you do a bunch of cool videos there as well.
Yeah. YouTube. I got to post more, though.
Okay. And Trinity, we do our goal celebration GIF, and this is your opportunity. Look, you score your first goal for the Washington Spirit. How are you going to celebrate?
90th minute winner.
What's it going to look like?
Well, I have huge muscles, as you can see.
Very evident, Jack. Yeah.
So it would probably be like this.
love it
perfect.
Okay, all right, everybody, thank you so much again, Trinity, for joining us. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans, follow at Fubo Sports on all social media channels, and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, let us end the show as is tradition, the way we normally do. So for Trinity Rodman, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros,
and together, what are we?
The Cooligans!